Today we hear Jesus coming in his prophetic mission in the line of Jeremiah. He's certainly not here to tell everyone what they want to hear. He is here not to be nice and kind, but rather to set sinners free from tyranny. The truth will set you free. So he says that he has come to set the earth on fire. And his great desire, his passion, that it would be set on fire. So whatever does this mean? I think that probably for you and me, maybe Joe the firefighter accepted, most of our experience with fire is in controlled environments, right? There's probably a fire in your house every winter to make the furnace work, right? But we don't think about it. It's a control. It might be a fire on your stove if you have a gas stove, right? Most of the time, if we have a fire outside, it's in a very controlled environment. But even when we get a glimpse of a fire that's not in control, it terrifies us. Remember when I was a seminarian, and I spent the summer at a parish outside of Venice in Italy, and one of the things that I did was went on this camping trip with the equivalent, I guess, of the scouts. And it so happened that as we were cooking on those backpacking stoves, you know, the fuel's kind of screwed into these tiny little stoves that you set up on the ground that you can later, you know, put in your backpack. Someone did not screw the fuel on all the way. So they were able to light the stove, but there was fuel spraying out. Well, of course, it caught on fire. So one of the guys brilliantly runs through and he kicks the stove. They're all soccer players in Italy. And it goes way across the courtyard that we were in. Now this was August, it was very dry, all the grass was totally yellow, dry, and definitely the whole thing could have caught on fire. And then the monastery next door could have as well. Thankfully the force, I guess, of the wind actually blew the fire out, so that part was taken care of, poured water on the parts around where the stove had been sitting, to get that out. But you could just tell how much that little tiny bit of lack of control terrified all of us. So when Jesus comes talking about wanting a blazing fire, this is not a nice image. It's an image that's meant to terrify us. Do we know this Jesus? In Hebrews 12, later on, we actually heard from Hebrews 12 today, but later on in that chapter, we hear that our God is a consuming fire. Do we know this God? Some of you might be thinking, well, I don't think I want to know that kind of God. Well, whether we want it or not, it's for the greater to disclose himself to the lesser, right? He remains hidden from us until he reveals himself. And this is how he has revealed himself, in Jesus Christ, who says that he has come to set a fire upon the earth. In the letter to the Hebrews again, it says, "See that you do not reject the one who speaks. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth," it's talking about those who rejected the prophets, like we heard about in Jeremiah today, "how much more in our case, if we turn away from the one who warns from heaven." That's Jesus. Our God is a consuming fire. So we need to lean in to figure out what this might mean. What is Jesus trying to reveal to us? I want to share the thoughts from Monsignor Charles Pope, who's a pastor in Washington, D.C. He said that the readings today speak of a great cosmic battle that's taking place all around us. In the Gospel, Jesus speaks of it vividly and of his own mission to engage our ancient foe. and to gather God's elect back from the enslaving clutches of Satan, who is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. So let's consider Jesus' description in the gospel of this cosmic battle and of his own great mission as the great shepherd of his sheep. Jesus begins by saying, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing." The Lord, he says, has come to purify us by the fiery power of his love, his grace, and his word. He has a passion to set things right. But purification is seldom easy or painless, hence the image of fire. In this great cosmic battle, fire must be cast upon the earth, not only to purify, but to distinguish. There are things that will be made pure, but only if other things are burnt away and reduced to ashes. This image of fire is important because many people today have reduced faith to seeking enrichment and blessings. Faith surely supplies these, but it also demands that we take up our cross and follow Christ without compromise. The battle is engaged. Choose sides. You're either letting the fire purify you, or you're being reduced to ashes. The choice is yours. Jesus is passionate to set things right. He has come to cast fire on the earth. So I think he's saying is that this gospel of painless self-improvement is an illusion. The preaching that says take up your cross without having to be transformed is a trick of the devil. The purifying fire of God's love, which is manifest in the cross of Jesus Christ, is there to root out, to make a distinction, a division in our hearts, to root out the evil, to burn away what is not of God, so that we might be purified and strengthened in what is of God. Monsignor Pope again, the text says, "There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. In waging war on our behalf against the evil one, Jesus does not sit in some comfortable headquarters behind the front lines. He goes out on point, taking the hill of Calvary and leading us over the top to the resurrection glory. He endures every blow, every hardship on our behalf. It is a painful path, and he speaks of his anguish in doing it. But having won the victory, he now turns to us and invites us to follow him through the cross to glory." Right, so this image of fire is not the image of the vengeful God. Rather, it's Jesus, whose heart is on fire with love for us, who leads us through the pain of the cross and invites us to follow. He goes through the crucible first so that we can find the courage and the confidence to follow through that purifying path to find the freedom and the true life of the resurrection. Back to Monsignor Pope. He says, in words that are nothing less than shocking, the Lord says, "Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." The words shock, but they speak a truth that sets aside worldly notions of compromise and coexistence with evil. In order for there to be true peace, holiness, and victory over Satan, there must be distinction, not equivocation, clarity, not compromise. This is often true even in our deepest family relationships, which must be subordinated to the gospel. Even if family members reject us, we must choose the Lord. One way to understand this, Monsignor Pope says, is to think of an analogy to a surgeon's scalpel. The surgeon must wield his sword to separate out healthy flesh from that which is diseased. Coexistence is not possible. The diseased flesh has to go. The moment one talks of coexisting with cancer, the disease wins. were a doctor to take that stance, he would be guilty of malpractice. When there is cancer, the battle must be engaged, and it must be rooted out. You could think of another image of fire, you know, a prairie fire, a forest fire, which, although it devastates, it also removes the old, the dying and the dead forest and its undergrowth. And now the land is ripe for renewal. The native peoples of our country understood this. They engaged in controlled burns, as we still do today. To relate it back to our series that we just, our preaching series that we just concluded, we have to discover our inner wounds. But when we do so, we don't want somebody haphazardly going in to mess around there, right? Nor should we want a counselor who just puts sugary frosting on top of the wounds to make us feel better for a time, but never addresses them. We need a surgeon to address in a careful and controlled way the wounds of our hearts. And though it hurts, distinguishing between the truths and the lies around that wound is what will bring true healing. There is a cosmic battle going on in the world and for each of our souls. The fire is cast. The sword of the Spirit of God's Word is being wielded. So we pray together with Jesus that this fire would be set, a blazing yet controlled fire of God's love, to root out evil and to create space for healing, for life, and for growth.